Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald. How are you, mate?
Oh, the listeners don't miss, do they, Meadow? They're very clever. They're
very cruel.
They are cruel. They can be cruel, but they're very clever too.
When are they cruel? At Bulldogs? Sunday or when you come in on Wednesday?
Every day.
Right, okay.
Every day. Every day that ends in Y, they're cruel.
Right. Ray wouldn't be criticised, though, would he?
He cops a bit.
Does he?
A little bit, yeah.
How can you criticise Ray?
I don't know. It upsets him a bit sometimes.
Yeah.
But,
He'd never be criticised off anyone, Ray.
He's a legend.
He's a lovely man.
Hey, Adam, is JD going to survive the weekend?
Well, are you talking before Saturday night, before Bulldogs, obviously, or after Saturday night? he'll survive the coach's game, obviously, but depending on this result, I'd expect some action or news, I suppose, in the next 24 to 48 hours after that game. It just doesn't stop at the moment, does it, Doggy? Around I was going to say Redfern, but they don't train at Redfern anymore, do they? So,
is it win or bust?
I think the manner of the performance and the result, Loz, will tell a lot, but he probably needs a win. Like, that's what he needs. He needs a win, and probably nothing else will suffice, to tell you the truth, because once South get to this juncture of the season, they've played six games, they've only won one match in six games, so they can't beat Cronulla this Saturday night. That's not going to be acceptable for them, and given they've got the bye week, it'll give them time to try and organise themselves and decide what they want to do. Russell's obviously filming this movie over in Budapest or Hungary at the moment, but he'll be in constant communication with South's hierarchy about what his thoughts are and where he thinks the club's going. So I tend to agree with you a little bit, Loz. I think it's win or bust. Otherwise, you know, and I don't want to say this because I feel for Jason. He's doing his best to try and coach that team and get him out of the hole they are, but it's quite clearly it's 80 minutes that's probably going to define his coaching career, or at least his coaching year with South this year.
And then if that occurs, obviously there's a stop-gap coach in place.
Yeah, and they've got Ben Hornby available there, Loz. He's the assistant at the moment, and obviously he went close to getting the Dragons job on a full-time basis last year. I was certainly in the mix to get that job last year, so he's adept. He's more
than
capable.
Is Wayne the walk-up starter, mate? Is he just like a walk-up start?
I don't know. I don't know, Loz. I heard you guys debating on NRL 360 last night about what Wayne's going to do. And Wayne's the master politician. He'll make this drag out and play out for a while. Maybe he's got eyes on Parramatta. Maybe he's looking at Parramatta, thinking that's the club that I want to take to. The thing about Wayne, Loz, is that he wants to keep coaching, but also he's very acutely aware of the legacy that he can leave. And no coach has ever won a premiership at three different clubs. Now, he's done it, obviously, at the Broncos many, many times. He's done it at the Dragons. He came very, very close to doing it at South in 2021. I reckon he'll want to finish his career by going to another club and winning another grand final. And Wayne will go to the club that he thinks, this is my opinion, he'll go to the club that he thinks will present him the best chance of winning a grand final. He doesn't want to rebuild anything like that. And cash probably won't be as big a factor for him this time as what it has been in the past. He'll want to win another premiership. Does he think that maybe South are the team to do that, given where they are at the moment and where that roster's at, or does he wait for another club? That's the question mark.
Let's talk some racing heading into day two of the championships. And, Joe Pride throwing his colt, Chaowulf, after just being beaten in the Derby. Chaowulf backers still got their heads in hand. Might have been one of them, but... Gee, to take on the older horses in a Queen Elizabeth at Weight for Age, big task, $15 in the market with Tab.
It's a big call, Mido, and one that I'm glad he's made because it adds so much interest to this race on Saturday in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. We're all talking about, obviously, our better Weight for Age horses, but to have a three-year-old thrown into the mix, particularly on a short backup as well, just adds that little bit of X factor and intrigue to the race. So I thought he was great in the Derby last week, and... Yeah. Joe knows that horse better than most. He would have known if he's come through that run on a heavy track relatively well, and I'm assuming he has, given the fact that he's entered in for the QE Stakes on the weekend there. So, yeah, I don't know how to line him up, because we haven't seen him against these type of horses before, but certainly adds a whole lot of interest. I'm still, you know what I think, Mido of V.S. Estina. I'm still heavily in her camp. She could be already, as I said on Monday, the best horse in racing Australia at the moment from what we saw on a couple of weeks ago. And but she'll be taken out of her comfort zone a little bit in this race with Pride of Jenny engaged. But I reckon a faster tempo probably suit her more. We know she's going to be a really strong over a mile and a quarter. And this 2,000-metre race with Pride of Jenny engaged should just play right into her hands.
In the Oaks, does anyone beat Orchestral or Zardozi?
They're dominating the market, Loz, and probably with good reason. Obviously, James had the option to run Zardozi in the Derby last week. And he was quite open, saying that he thought that the filly was up to matching the colts or the boys in the derby. But obviously, with that, all that rain we had in the 24 or 48 hours leading up to race day, he probably thought it was a safer option to give another week to get over that run in the Vinery and get it ready for the Oaks. So I can understand why Kestrel was favourite, but I just thought Zardozi might have just been half a run short there in the Vinery. She sort of loomed up at about the furlong pole and just petered out in a run a little bit. So what we saw in the spring, obviously heading towards the Oaks, I've got no doubt about her running out a strong mile and a half here, and I'm going to give her a chance to turn the tables. I still think Orchestral deserves to be favourite, but with a discrepancy in the price at the moment, I'm happy to lean just a little bit towards her way. I'm still respecting Tutu La Vida, who was an enormous run in the Vinery, and Autumn Angel is obviously going to present herself with a chance as well. But yeah, fascinating race the Oaks this year. Only a small field, but plenty of class at the top end of that market.
Now, Jason Collett's had a fall at Kembla.
Yeah, he did yesterday, Middo. So hopefully everything will be okay. The initial reports are that he went to hospital, but was only sort of complaining of some pretty deep bruising. So we'll obviously get some more news on that later today. But he relayed to family and obviously the Jockey Association shortly after it happened that he thought he was going to be okay. He walked back to the ambulance pretty gingerly, but let's hope he's right to go on the weekend, because obviously it's a really important time of year. Jason's having a fantastic season. He's challenging for the Sydney Jockeys Premiership this year, which would be his first line if he can get himself over the line. So he doesn't want to miss any time from being in the saddle.
Now, is Italian Hong Kong jockey Andrea Azzini out here?
He is, Smitto. Yeah, I saw some reports that are emerging late last night that he was going to come down to make a very, very rare trip down to Australia to ride for Kieran Maher on Circle of Fire. So we don't get to see Andrea down in Australia very often at all, but that horse we know was so impressive winning the Chairman's last week. Kieran Maher's always had a very deliberate plan for him to run in that lead-up race and then back up a week later in the Sydney Cup. And given he's got such a light weight, he's down there with 51.5 kilos. I think they were sort of searching far and wide to try and find a lightweight jockey who could take the ride on short notice. And Andrea obviously presents himself as that opportunity. Kieran didn't declare riders yesterday when that field was finally declared, but all the reports last night were that Andrea Azzini is going to be coming down to ride in Sydney. So good to see him. He's got a bit of a tough barrier draw to negotiate, but obviously if that horse holds his form from last week, he'll be riding the finish of the Sydney Cup.
We might get some Masters bets off you tomorrow as well.
Okay, I'll have a look, Mido. I was just thinking about it last night, actually. There's not a whole lot of guys showing some stellar form heading into the Masters this year, apart from Scotty Scheffler.
Well, that's why it's $5.50, isn't it?
Exactly. Like, he's been absolutely dominant on the PGA Tour for the last few months and obviously winning the Players and a couple of other events. So it's understandable why he's such a short-priced favourite, but, you know, it's a golf tournament, Mido. You know what they're like. People can come from the clouds to win events like this. So, yeah, I'll have a bit of a look for you and see what we can find and maybe have a couple of Masters bets tomorrow morning.
Beautiful stuff, mate. Thank you.
See you, boys.